Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds? Here. Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Mason? Mrs. Benitez?
Here.
Mr. Detmar and I are also here.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go straight to board work session.
Good. I can.
Yeah.
Tonight we call for the meeting to consider an emergency operating levy for the August ballot. What drove that is at our last meeting, we narrowed it down to that the PI renewal that's up in the next calendar year that we would put on in November of 17. And of the three options we narrowed it down to, number one came out as emergency operating levy. We roughly put in a number here somewhat as a placeholder on the information we had at that time. We said that we would go in August of 17. The term would be for 5 years. And so that left the work for Todd and I to determine, okay, what amount did we need to go for 5 years? Okay. We're ready for that tonight, and that's kind of what we want to walk you through. If we get to that point tonight, you feel good about the recommendation. We have the resolution that Todd procured from our bond council, and we'll be ready to put that in front of you. Todd's going to walk us through. He's done a really good job on putting together the calculation for us tonight. We need to keep in mind that we do have these two levies that are pending, the PI and this. You saw at our last meeting, Mr. Penny presented on facilities. We have issues there as well. Those needs will be addressed by PI. This is purely for general fund operating needs. And I'm going to let Todd kind of just walk through this sheet, and then I'll take over when he's done.
I'm going to pull up our calculation sheet. This is this sheet here. I've also got it pulled up on the screen. This calculator is the calculator that we presented when we were talking about the levy the first time, so it should look somewhat familiar. I've highlighted the areas that we're focusing on, and I'm going to go down through and just explain, you know, reiterate kind of how the calculator works.
And I'll come to the screen a bit here.
We have our different placeholder millage options here, and then this is the one that we chose to try and come to our amount. Okay, so the amount we came to is 5.89 mils. Actually, the amount we came to was $2,050,000, and we back into the 5.89 bills, okay? What that does is it comes to an annual cost to a $100,000 home to the homeowner of $206, or a farm owner of $1 million farm, $2,063, okay? Down here, we see that 5.8 mils, which again, we backed into from the amount we're requesting, that $2,050,000 will generate $1,025,000 in the first year, and then years 2 through 5 will generate $2,050,000. Year 6 would be nothing. So our emergency property tax levy is going to be 3 to 5 years. So 5 years would be maxing that out.
Scroll on down here.
Okay, so we have a couple options here. What we were charged with was looking at different scenarios. We're left with the state funding is the big unknown right now. So we looked at a everything going right and worst case scenario type of situation. So here is based on a revised 10-year plan with two-tier busing in effect, the increased state funding we'll receive from that two-tier busing, and the attrition we figure in that, you know, we Mr. Detweiler about to see what kind of attrition we expect to have. The attrition is not in our five-year forecast, but it is here. Okay. So with those things in mind, we come to a revised projected ending balances. Okay. So this is taking our current forecast, adding the attrition, and this gives us this revised balance. Okay. You see here we used to be at 16,000, now we're at 343,000. Okay. Then we take these numbers and we add on the different millage amounts and what they would generate. And we had to get out, per the board's direction, 5 years. So 5.89 mils, which we backed into, gets us out to 2022 to the tune of $2.9 million. Right? Anything less than that, we go into the red in that fifth year. Anything more than that, we're just adding to it. So if you scroll on down, that was the best case scenario, okay? Two-tier busing, we get the additional funding, and the attrition's figured in. The worst case scenario is we go back to one-tier busing because the state funding's been frozen, so we're not getting any additional funding to go into two-tier. So we flatline our state funding. We don't have anything additional in there for operating costs or anything for two-tier because we're going back to one-tier if that goes through. The attrition's still figured in. So this is our worst case. And our worst case we have to be prepared for because we wouldn't want to pass an amount and then be off and 2 years later have to go back to voters and say we were wrong. We need to come back. We didn't ask for enough. So what that allowed us to come to was the same scenario, a revised ending balance here for 2018 to 2022. Based on that, those scenarios, you see, because we didn't get the two-tier funding and the state funding's flatlined, instead of being to the positive in 2019 of $16,000, now we're in the red, $660,000 in 2019. Okay? So then we looked at the different millage amounts. When we settled on the $2,050,000, that allowed us, in the worst case scenario, to still get out the 5 years, but it's only $272,000 now remaining as opposed to the $2.9 million. So that's the big unknown. Those are the two scenarios that we have to work with. With these two scenarios in mind, the number we came to is the $2,050,000 that we equate to 5.89 mils. Now that 5.89 mils, once the auditor certifies that amount, could be a little more based on the homestead and rollback amounts that aren't figured into this, but it should be pretty close to that. What I used for my property valuations up in the top was our current total valuation with a 1% increase. That's what's in the forecast based on the update.
I think you nailed it pretty good, Todd. The critical thing with emergencies, you're asking for $2,050,000. And then the county auditor, as Todd talked to, just backs into it. So we're trying to back into it, guessing what all the variables are. And I know he's within 0.2,
I think we're pretty darn close,
you know, of where we're going to end up. So we didn't want to overfund, but we didn't want to underfund. We played around with 4.98, 4.99, 6 point whatever, and tried to see how much it overfunded us in this best case scenario. And we didn't want to do that. So we tried to see, okay, what gets us our 5 years, it gets us to where we're going to end with at least a decent ending balance. And we know through this process there might be some other things that changed that helped us a little bit. But we didn't want to overfund here and underfund here. And so the sweet spot, as we kept working, it was $2,050,000. And considering our guess was 2.2, we're pretty darn close.
One thing you'll realize, too, is that neither one of those options gets us through that sixth year. So it's an emergency operating levy. It's for 5 years. And then we're back to going back to the voters or reassessing our situation and seeing where we're at. So it gets us through those 5 years, but the 6 years, we'll be back reevaluating our situation. Again, that just speaks to not wanting to overfund or over request, I guess, from the voters with this emergency operating plan.
Of course, the other big unknown is the governor's budget, other things that could come into play, not only this cycle, but sometime within that 5 years. What did you say we put in for our assumption for growth and foundation?
The foundation is 1.6%. That was based on the $100 additional amount per pupil. The ADM that was being funded, it was getting increased $100 each time. That equated to about 1.6%. So we pushed on that out in the current forecast, 1.6%. So
if that goes up or down, that could impact those numbers,
right,
out in year five.
The bottom number is having that amount frozen, so that's zero. Okay, so that's flat funding our current.
That's your very most conservative number, like,
yeah,
bottom.
Right, the bottom.
Still gets you through five.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you see $2,050,000, how in the world did you come up with that? we actually were playing with it this afternoon, trying to get down to the very nitty-gritty of what we actually had to have. So if you have any questions on that, we can speak to that now. Todd has more information talking about comparables.
Yeah, just to see where that puts us. I'm sorry, do you have any questions?
Do you have questions?
No, I just worry that if we do have to go back to one-tier busing, we're cutting it off with those towns.
Well, I agree.
I don't want to overtax.
What we don't take into consideration is if you hit the 20 mil floor, we do get additional revenue somewhere in those 5 years too.
Right.
So hopefully that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I did reach out to the county auditor because we have it at that 20.06 just to try and see if we are currently at the floor, and she just confirmed that we are 20.06. So that tells me that we're not at the floor.
I'm okay with the 5.89 mil. I just have concerns here.
Mm-hmm. On year five?
Yes, okay. If we have to go back to one tier.
Right.
We're cutting it awful close. Yeah.
The other thing that's an unknown in here is, you know, the current budget that's up for adoption, House Bill 49, you know, that's out there right now for the current state budget, we don't know what's going to happen there. But there's another budget in this forecast also that we don't know. So there's two budgets here. The one that would follow that one, they could take a completely different direction.
But we have to make assumptions based upon what we know today.
All we can work on is what the information we have available.
Right. But you still put the attrition number in the bottom. The
attrition's in both.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah,
it's about 125,000.
Yeah, it's 125,000 in year one, another 30,000 in FY19. So based on those two amounts, and there may be some more in FY19 too that we don't know about.
The only reason that we projected one out there, that's for the resignation that we got the other day at the end of next school year.
Right.
So that savings differential would include that. So those are the numbers. And if you want
so
to
the comparables then, again, a similar graphic to what you've seen before. The difference being that I added in the village equivalent of the income tax, if any of these districts had an income tax. And then resorted us and saw where we rank currently and then where we would rank with the 5.89 mils or $2,050,000. So where we are at currently is on the far right. We're the lowest in those surrounding districts that we've used in our projections as our comparables. If you add the 5.89 mils or the $2,050,000, that puts us right above Westfall there. So we're the second lowest in the county still after the emergency operating levy. So you can see there's a lot of room there to not be the highest, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Yeah, we'd stay the lowest in the county by 5 mils.
Correct.
So and that's effective.
Right. That's effective. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's mm-hmm. what you're actually claiming.
I would like to see this graph communicated to the voter.
So then
it's a great campaign, campaign piece.
I also updated this graphic. All I did was add a note. So if you see the red letters there, that's plus a 1% income tax. You know, so if you see Southeastern at $899 for a $100,000 home, plus they have a 1% income tax. So I updated that a little bit also. These are graphics and materials that we're still kind of working with, tweaking a little bit here and there, but I think they're valuable enough even at this stage.
That's helpful.
To present them to you and present them in a public meeting. So, but yeah, this right now is our best graphic, I guess, that shows where we're at. And it's got the breakdown, so you can see some of those are bond issues. You know, one thing Tim was pointing out is, you know, West Jeff has a pretty large emergency operating levy. That red, that 7.34 mils is an emergency operating levy. So ours would be 5.89, so in comparison, you know, we're still lower than West Jeff's emergency operating levy that they have on. So the long and short of it, we put a lot of thought into this amount.
Yeah.
I think that what we've come to with $2,050,000 is a pretty sound suggestion to the board. Now it's kind of up to you.
Any questions about any of that information or anything else like to?
I think it kind of solidifies what we're talking about.
I think you're right on target, right, from what you thought? the numbers would be?
We're not over that 2.2 mil, 2.2 million. We got that number to be a little bit bigger that Bob wanted to see there in 2022, so the 272,000 is a lot better than 50,000. So not a whole lot of breathing room, but there still is. It's where I would expect to be at the end of a levy cycle, which is what we're going to be on now and what kind of what we're assuming. We're going to be on more of a cycle unless things change drastically with the state foundation funding or the real estate. Those other
variables. We're not going to know that until June, right?
Yeah. Well, it could be before that, but the latest we'll know is by June. It's looking that way, so it looks like there's a lot of discussion around it.
There is good news about the transportation
fund. Right. It seems like the theme that everybody's rallying around is that they've impacted the transportation funding negatively, and there's been a lot of pushback on that, specifically to large rural districts with sparse populations, which is us. Some of the suggestions that have been made are to increase the transportation supplemental transportation funding and to keep it outside of the cap and outside of the guarantee. So that would be good news to us because we would be guaranteed where we're at currently, and then if they increase that supplemental transportation funding, that would be in addition to that amount, even though technically, since we're on the guarantee, we should be receiving less per the formula, and they're guaranteeing us by propping us up that 700,000 that they're saying they're giving us. So it would be that propped up 700,000 plus whatever they want to give us on that supplemental transportation fund. Some of the other ideas they're floating around are reinstituting a bus purchase amount, giving districts a certain amount to go out and specifically purchase buses. Now that would help us more for the PI because we purchased our buses through our permanent improvement levy. That's been a big need that permanent improvement levy's filled is on our bus purchase. But we would be able to shift things around and definitely take advantage of it, and the general fund would see a positive impact from that. But still, a lot of these things are up in the air. We really just don't know.
I have a question, and this really doesn't have anything to do with the levy stuff necessarily, but you just made a something that brought back a discussion we had back when we did purchase buses. How many of these school districts, surrounding school districts, carry some type of debt as far as when they purchase stuff? Because that's not a bad thing to show people too, is that we don't have any debt. If other schools do have debt that they're paying back besides, because that's tax money that's not going to the kids, it's going to debt repayment.
Right. That's something that would be fairly easy to come by. It'd be on their forecast even. But I don't have that available here.
I know we thought about through
general.
If it's paid through general, right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know we thought about that back when we looked at doing buses. We talked about we could finance buses, and we, people were pretty adamant about not financing buses. But so to some extent, I mean, if other school districts they have debt for those types of things, which that's other stuff that's not going to their kids, where we can say all our money is going to our kids.
Now we didn't purchase a bus last year, did we?
We
did.
Yeah. We've got at least one every year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll be getting two in this year. So.
Have we reached out to Senator Hackett to tell him about how that's going to adversely affect our school, specifically, the change in that?
I had a pretty good engagement with the superintendent treasurer's
meeting. Did you get to talk to him that day?
Yeah, I spoke to him specifically about our district and the negative impact that this budget's going to have. I think I've made our case pretty clear there. I haven't spoken to him outside of that.
What was his reaction of his feedback?
He's sympathetic.
He gets it. He just doesn't know if he has control over it to change it.
Right. He leans on Peggy Lehner quite a bit. She's head of the education side, and he leans on her for not how he should vote, but advice as to why he should support and not support pieces of the governor's budget. But he's heard from Springfield, Champaign, and now Madison that the transportation funding is just, it needs to go back to where it was. So, I mean, he hears that loud and clear. I think, honestly, part of the hesitation, especially on the governor's part on his budget, was I think that what the federal level was doing was impacting his thinking it was going to change the state budget for Medicaid and it was going to really hammer us, and then he was really going to have to blow the bomb up on the budget. So I think that maybe he feels a little more comfortable now, so they might be able to make some quick progress, I hope. So whether you like what was going on at the federal level or not, it was going to impact us in that way. So
I think he thinks that the adjustments flow through the formula a little quicker when it comes to the property value adjustments with the CAUV values. You know, we saw the sharp spike in the values, which brought our state share way down. And, you know, he kind of, I think, assumed as those level out, you know, since that spike's going to kind of level out now, that it should adjust. And that's true, it'll adjust, but it's not going to adjust as quick as it changed the first time, that big increase. So it spiked, you know, really high, and it's going to slowly adjust and level out now. It's not going to come down really fast or anything like that. So that's reflected in the budget. Plus, those budgets, once it, whatever's in place in that year one carries over to year two. You know, so even if something were to change in year two with values for some reason, we wouldn't see it until the next budget rolled out.
Todd and I were able to set up a meeting with Senator Hackett and possibly Mrs. Lehner, would any of the board members like to go?
That'd be great.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And if we can't get a meeting, we maybe can reach out, communicate by email or, I mean, I don't know, phone calls or letters, whatever. I mean,
yeah. We can certainly ask the staff and the community bring their attention to the fact that how dramatic a change. Some people may like the fact that if transportation funding gets cut, it puts our two-tier busing in jeopardy, but, you know, so I'm not sure what letters they will send, but overall it hurts our funding, so.
Right.
And to be honest, you can see the difference if we didn't have two-tier busing, if we had not decided to go to that, then we'd be talking about more millage than the 5.89 and more dollars. But I will reach out to Senator Hackett's office to see if we can get something set up. Because I think he understands, but it would be nice to have our numbers in front of him.
Right.
Just so he can see.
And the visuals,
the real
I think. You know, I spoke to him, but of course we didn't have these type of visuals to actually get his attention.
Well, these help, right? These help you be more clear and
right.
An understanding of where you are.
Right.
One of the challenges is he understands CAUV, but he will beat the drum that he has beat in the past that, well, it looks like your community needs to provide more support. He won't look at this graph the same way we look at this graph, just to be clear, because he's made that clear to us several times.
Well, I think this one here is more important to show him than the one I say let's show the voters.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll see if we can get that set up. Any other questions about the presentation?
No.
Okay. The only item on the agenda, me this evening, is from Todd and I both, actually. It has to be my recommendation. This recommendation is asking you to approve the resolution declaring it necessary to levy a tax. This is the first of two that have to be approved. This basically says, yes, we agree that the treasurer should go get the $2,250,000, the millage certified, so it can be placed on the ballot. She'll send that back to us. Todd will send that to bond council, get the next resolution, you'll vote on that at the April meeting. So this does not obligate the district to anything. It simply obligates Todd to go to the county auditor and get the certification done. It does tell the public what the dollar amount is that we're looking for if we do put it on in April. In August. So, and you do not have to read the entire resolution. You certainly can, but you can simply read the heading because the resolution is included in the minutes and Todd will have it in there for the public's digestion.
I have a question about this. It's irrelevant. But in section two on the resolution here, it says it is necessary that a tax be levied in excess of the 10 mil limitation for the benefit of this school district. What is that?
The county has that to divide up amongst the political subdivisions within the county, the inside millage.
That's the unvoted
the
portion.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
You don't get to vote on that.
No,
But the county gets to levy that portion. And so we don't have control over it, but if you're going above that, you have to vote it in. Anything above it has to be voted in.
Yeah, so that's, yeah. That's pertaining to the inside numbers, yes.
Good question.
So we need to vote that, on that now? Or?
That concludes my report. Todd's report.
Thank you very much. I know it's a lot of work, so thank you.
So you want a motion now? Okay, Madam President, I move that upon the recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following resolution declaring it necessary to levy a tax increase in excess of the 10 mil limitation.
I'll second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, I make a motion to enter into executive session at 6:26 p.m. For the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. And Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
Second.
We'll be taking no further action. Thanks for coming. Oh, vote. Yes, call roll. I get a little excited. Call roll. I don't even know what to do 6:26.
Go ahead. This is Cooley.
Yes.
Have a good evening.
Yes. See you, Jim.
Hey. Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
I get excited. I can't help it.
There's mud?
Of course.